As we continue worshiping during the month of January, we are focusing on the question of why, God. We often cry out to God when things are not going well in our lives, when we are struggling with suffering and pain and different issues in our lives. And so often we hope that God will cry back to us, that God will call out to us, that God will speak to us. And this morning we get to hear just that, when God speaks to Job out of the whirlwind. So we welcome you to worship as we continue to think about what it means to live in this world and to struggle. I also invite you this morning to look inside your bulletin, and you'll notice that there's something wrapped around your connection card. I hope you'll take the connection card and fill it out and share some information with us. At least giving us your name and email is very helpful. You can also do that in your Trinity app and let us know that you are here today. Wrapped around that connection card is a sheet about caring and support ministries here at Trinity. And again, as we work through this series, we thought it might lift up some things for you all, and if you are in need of any kind of care or support for grief or for healing, for a listening ear, there's some information on there, and we hope that you will take advantage of it. We have many folks in our congregation who are happy to reach out to you and to be a support. As we come to worship each Sunday, we trust that Trinity will be a place where you will feel at home and where you will know that you are at home and loved by Christ. And so we invite you to say with me this morning what we say each week: welcome home. So now let me invite you to stand up and say hello to someone. If you don't know them, please just introduce yourself and let them introduce themselves.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's begin our worship service together by singing our opening hymn.
God, we worship you in awe and wonder the author of all beginnings, and all that is pronounced good. And evil day and night have purpose, though calm and storm have meaning. Open our eyes that we may receive your gifts and witness to your will. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray.
Amen.
Can I invite you to join me in the Spirit's affirmation of faith as we affirm our faith in Christ? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we move into a time of prayer, I would like to begin with some celebrations. First of all, there are three baptisms at the next service, and so I hope you will be in prayer for those three children and their families. Also, this past week, the Board of Ordained Ministry met in Leesburg at our camp and conference center, and Lenora went before the board seeking full connection as an elder in the United Methodist Church, which for all of you university professors out there means that she would have tenure. That's kind of, and she is ordained, and we are so excited for Lenora. So she was recommended by the board. And she will be ordained at annual conference in June. So that's certainly a very exciting and life-changing time in her ministry. Certainly a huge milestone. We are so excited for you, Lenora, and we are grateful that you've been able to use your gifts here and serve as part of Trinity for the last 3 years. Yes, for the last 3 years. So we're grateful for that and look forward to your ordination. We'll let you know more about when that is. And everyone is invited to head to Lakeland to annual conference for ordination early in June. You all also know that Lenora shared in the pastor's message about a little over a week ago that in conversation with Steve and me, with her family, of course, with the district superintendent, Lenora and her family will be leaving us sooner than we had anticipated because Aaron has shore duty, meaning he won't be out on the ship but will be stationed in San Antonio, Texas for the next 3 years. They are going to leave sooner than they had originally intended. They were going to leave at the end of May, and now they're going to go ahead and move so that they can be together in the family at the end of February. And while we will miss Lenora, and that will be difficult for us, we know that that will be good for Lenora and Aaron and the kids, and so we celebrate that upcoming move with them and look forward to supporting them to be able to be together as a family. So I invite you to hold those two things in prayer, both celebrating Lenora's recommendation to be ordained and also the move us with joy and peace of salvation and the hope in you as our Redeemer and our friends. We especially give you thanks for calling as we celebrate milestones of children being baptized and beginning their faith in you. Recommendation to be ordained, and the fact that her family will soon be together in 17 years. Loving God, we also look to you, especially in the uncertainties of life, for all those times when we feel threatened by concerns and confusions. We pray now for those in Northern Ireland. Their concern rises again at the thought of sectarian violence. I also pray for all of you there who are victims of violence or who suffer because of war and tragedy. And we are confident in our hope and belief that you hold the future in your hands, and that we can always trust in your care. So hear us now as we seek your blessing. We all have concerns that are close to our hearts and minds. Travel with us, we pray, guiding us and strengthening us for whatever lies ahead. The unknown future sometimes concerns us, especially that when there are frightening influences at work in the world. Yet despite these fears, you give us confidence that we never walk alone. You have promised to lead us into the joy of your presence, always by our side, leading us into life in all its fullness. Thank you for your amazing life. In the name of Christ, we pray, and we pray as we come. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
God, King of love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack.
setup to the whole book that focused on the idea of whose fault is it anyway when bad things happen. And then last week, Lenora helped you grapple with the different answers that we sometimes try to come up with and that can sometimes be very unhelpful in the course of trying to respond to that question of why and whose fault is it. And then this week, we get to the next installment. And it's a number of chapters later. Before we get to actually reading the scripture today, I want to invite you to take a moment to pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this servant, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives on this day. Amen. Several years ago, I was invited to participate in a fundraising event for the district that Catherine and I were a part of at that point in the Methodist Church, and for a missional initiative that that particular district had. And the fundraiser idea that somebody had come up with was to invite some of the Harlem Globetrotter legends. So these were guys who had played for the Globetrotters and were no longer actively playing for them, but still traveled and did exhibition games. Invite them to come, and some of the folks from within the district, which included pastors and some youth directors and some other members of different churches around the district, to play against the Globetrotters. So I was one of the ones who got to participate in that. Now you got to understand, when you're playing against Harlem Globetrotter legends, they are the stars of the show. And our role is just to kind of enjoy being a part of the show and do everything we can to enjoy ourselves and help the crowd enjoy them, because they are the stars of the show. And for the most part, we all understood that, all of us that were playing in that exhibition game, except for this one young man who was a part of our squad who seemed to think that he was going to become the star of the show. Well, as you can imagine, this young man was way out of his league, right? And so it was, you wanted to be embarrassed for him. And it was one of those kinds of scenes where you wanted to turn away, but you just couldn't help but look also. God, dude, stay on your level, right? Well, today, the scripture reading for today may feel a little bit like that. Because for 35 chapters, Job and his friends have been wrestling with this question of why and what is happening with Job and all the suffering that he is enduring, and trying to come up with reasons and explanations for why that's happening. And so we get to this point, and I kind of imagine that for all of those conversations that have been happening and all of those suggestions and ideas, I imagine God just shaking them. And perhaps at points along the way, even tapping God's fingers on the cloud and saying, "You done yet?" And then finally, today, in chapter 38, God speaks up. And when God does, everyone falls silent. In fact, chapter 38, which we're going to read all of 38 today, but it is just the beginning. This speech of God back to Job actually lasts for four chapters. It is the longest single speech of God anywhere in the Bible. So let's take a look with that as background now at the 38th chapter of the book of Job. I invite you to follow along on the screen so I can see it today. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind, "Who is this darkening counsel with words lacking knowledge? Prepare yourself like a man. I will interrogate you, and you will respond to me." And notice how right away God has flipped the script. Job and his friends have been the ones asking questions, and now God says, "Okay, I've been patient, I've listened to you. Now let me ask some questions. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you know. Who set its measurements? Surely you know." Mic drop. "Who stretched a measuring tape on it? On what were its footing sunk? Who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang in unison and all the divine beings shouted? Who enclosed the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment, the dense clouds its wrap? When I imposed my limit for it, put on a bar and doors and said, you may come this far, no farther. Here your proud waves stop. In your lifetime had you commanded the morning, informed the dawn of its place so it would take hold of earth by its edges and shake the wicked out of it? Do you turn it over like clay for a seal so it stands out like a colorful garment? Light is withheld from the wicked, the uplifted arm broken. Have you gone to the sea's sources, walked in the chamber of the deep? Have death's gates been revealed to you? Can you see the gates of deep darkness? Have you surveyed earth's expanses? Tell me if you know everything about it. Where is the road to the place where light dwells? Darkness, where is it located? Can you take it to its territory? Do you know the path to its house? You know, for you were born then. You have lived such a long time. Another mic drop moment there. Have you gone to snow's storehouses, seen the storehouses of hail that I have reserved for a time of distress, for a day of battle and war? What is the way to the place where light is divided up, the east wind spattered over earth? Who cut a channel for the downpours and a way for blasts of thunder to bring water to uninhabited land? A desert with no human to saturate dry wasteland and make grass sprout? Has the rain a father who brought forth drops of dew? From whose belly does ice come? Who gave birth to heaven's frost? Water hardens like stone, the surface of the deep thickens. Can you bind Pleiades' chains or loosen the reins of Orion? Can you guide the stars at their proper times, lead the bear with her cubs? Do you know heaven's laws or can you impose its rule on earth? Can you issue an order to the clouds so their abundant waters cover you? Can you send lightning so that it goes and then says to you, I'm here? Who put wisdom in remote places? Or who gave understanding to a rooster? Who is wise enough to count the clouds? And who can fill heaven's water containers so that dust becomes mud and clods of dirt and heat? Can you hunt prey for the lion or fill the cravings of lion cubs? They lie in their den, lie in ambush in their lair. Who provides food for the raven when its young cry to God, move about with food? This is the word of God for the people of God. And that's just the beginning. God keeps going for three more chapters. Can you imagine Job in that moment? That God is speaking of all these things of which Job has not even begun to consider. This is God's answer. And isn't it ironic that the answer really is not an answer at all in the way we would typically assume it, but rather God asks questions. Who is this darkening counsel with words lacking knowledge? And he just keeps peppering Job with questions. Who are you? Where were you? Have you commanded? Can you do this? Job, stay on your level. For days, Job and his friends have been trying to make sense of things. They needed Job's experience to fit into one of the boxes that they have neatly created. And so they have gone through these ideas about either or and put in front of God lots of forced choices. You all heard about some of those last week, perhaps. Forced choices where God must be either this or that, or this set of circumstances must exist for that one. So, for example, God either has the power to fix things in Job's suffering and doesn't care, or God cares about Job's suffering but doesn't have the power to fix things. Job has sinned brought all of this trouble on himself, and if that is the case, then God is justified in bringing it upon him, or Job has not sinned, Job has remained blameless, and therefore there has been a terrible miscarriage of justice, and God should do something about it. Either or thinking is what traps Job and his friends. You see, Job and his friends are limited to a certain arena of understanding, and Job wants God to play in his theological sandbox. The problem, of course, is that both he and his friends are limited by their human capacity for reason. And we are like that too, aren't we? We are limited by our human capacity for reason. We want answers on our terms, on the basis of the scope of knowledge and understanding that we have, and we want things to make sense inside the boxes for meaning that we have created in our own lives. But the truth is, we are all like grasshoppers in the presence of the God of the universe. Don't you think Job probably felt like a grasshopper in the presence of God as God began to speak? God's questions, God's response, God's answer reveals just how small Job's sandbox is. Theologian and preacher Tom Long says that the real question that all of Job puts in front of us is this: do we want to be God, or do we want to trust the one who is? God's response in chapter 38 and 39 and 40 and 41 invites Job to make the shift. To make the shift from wanting to have things on his own terms and within his own box of understanding to, in essence, be God or get to choose like God how things happen. God invites Job to make the shift from that to an understanding of one who is God and is beyond Job's comprehension. Now, on the one hand, perhaps as you began listening today or if you've wrestled with this book and with this speech of God before, God's response may sound a little insensitive, even a little sarcastic, perhaps. But what we must realize is that what Job needs are not the answers that he thinks he wants. Now, any of you who have ever been a parent can understand that, right? There has been a time when your child came to you wanting answers, and you knew that the answers that they were seeking really weren't going to help them. What they thought they wanted, the rationale they were hoping for, was not going to really ultimately help them. And so at some point along the way, you probably said to your child in one scenario or another, "You know, I don't expect you to understand. I just hope that you will trust me." In this moment in chapter 38, God is beginning to ask Job to shift his perspective, to have a new perspective, an enlarged perspective that moves from needing to understand to being able to trust in all circumstances. And so in order to help him make that shift, God invites him to consider just how much he doesn't know. And here's the good news paradox that is happening in this very moment. The God who is infinitely beyond Job's grasp to understand, the one that he is describing, and all the ways in which God's knowledge God's capacity is beyond Job. That same God of infinite wonder is also the God who in that very moment is being intimately present with Job. God responds to Job. He may not respond in exactly the way Job wanted him to, but he is responding in the moment with an intimate presence. About 10 years ago, my covenant group, some of you have heard me talk about my group of fellow pastors that are an important part of my journey of faith and ministry. About 10 years ago, we were together for our spring retreat. And on that particular retreat that year, one of our covenant brothers, Chuck, the oldest of our group, didn't seem to be feeling well. And we noticed that he was coughing a good bit and just seemed like he didn't have as much energy as he usually did. And so we asked him about it. We said, you know, Chuck, maybe you should go to the doctor when you get back home. And just, he mentioned that it had been lingering for a couple of weeks. So Chuck did, and not long after that, after Chuck had gotten home and gone to the doctor and gone through a series of tests, he sent us all the word that he had been diagnosed with lung cancer. None of us knew what to do with that news. It caught us all by surprise. And what we could not have anticipated was how quickly Chuck would move from that diagnosis to being not able to leave his house, to losing weight and energy. And we knew that the end was coming. And believe me, we all, in that season of life together, gentle, kind, loving friend who later in life had sensed a call from God and responded to it to enter into ordained ministry. Why, God? Why this? When we knew things were getting close, we all went to visit Chuck at his home. And the day we got there, by that time, Chuck, it was difficult for him to move from place to place, even within the house, and so he mainly spent the day either in his bed or in a recliner in his bedroom. And so after arriving and visiting with his wife for a little while, we all went into his bedroom to sit with Chuck. And there really wasn't a lot to say. What needed to happen more than anything was for us to just be present with each other. But at one moment while we were there, Chuck lifted up an arm and pointed a thumb back behind him. And we looked, because of his pointing, we looked beyond him and noticed that there was a picture framed on the wall behind him. And it was a rendering of that scene from the Gospels where the disciples are afraid because a storm comes up on the waters, and Jesus is walking on the waters toward them. Chuck said, I like that picture. It reminds me that he is with me. Who is this darkening counsel with words lacking knowledge? God asks. You know, it's not that we should never question God or seek understanding in the midst of suffering and pain and things that don't make sense. It's okay. God can take it. God knows we need to come to God when we are struggling. But it's just that there comes a time for us to fall silent and to simply live with the mystery of what we cannot know. And in the midst of that mystery, to give thanks for what we can know, that through it all, God is here.
this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do, here, with just simple bread and cup, God invites us to have a continuing conversation and to hear God speak back to us words of hope, truth, and love through the cross of Jesus.
experience your real and abiding presence. And so having come and eaten and allowed